Dr. Mark Cohen, who's a neuroscientist with UCLA's Department of Bioengineering, a pioneer of neuroscience as well, he says, in response to your article, science cannot explain brain-free consciousness. Of course, science cannot explain consciousness anyway. In this case, however, it would be parsimonious to reject the whole idea of consciousness in the absence of brain activity. Either his brain was active when he had these dreams, or they are a confabulation of whatever took place in his state of minimally conscious coma. There are many reports of people remembering dreamlike states while in medical coma. They lack consistency, of course, but there's nothing particularly unique in Dr. Alexander's unfortunate episode.
Well, I would say he's absolutely wrong. There's no way my brain could have come up with this very rich realm that it came up with. And that was the part that was so stunning to me that I tried to explain, based on every explanation that the kind of skeptical neuroscientific crowd would try and lay into this one. And the problem is, none of them work.
Is it dangerous, you think, as a scientist, to approach then with that conclusion already in mind? You mentioned in the Newsweek article that you're hoping to develop a new metaphysical idea around science, around understanding of consciousness, around understanding of spirituality. But it also seems that you're doing something that a lot of scientists wouldn't do, which is accepting a conclusion and working to develop evidence that would build to that.
Well, the thing is, I originally assumed that there would be a brain-based mechanism. I mean, that's what I spent all those many months researching, was saying there has to be a neuroscientific explanation for that, how this happened in my brain. That was my conclusion. And the problem is, when I went through every possibility, I ended up realizing, no, that actually this very real experience happened outside my brain, outside of physical reality, and that makes the most sense. It makes far more sense than kind of backpedaling and trying to say, well, it had to happen in his brain because I won't believe that anything else is possible.
But you go from that into saying that heaven is real as well, and it would seem like more uproar would be coming out from the scientific community, but perhaps from the religious community, since this tears down the wall that separates faith and believing from fact and knowing. It would also seem that if you visited heaven, given the history of your life, your own religious preference, that that would prove other faiths wrong that don't have the same conception of heaven, or that would not allow someone of your stature to reach heaven, whether that's through not having attained the proper states of enlightenment in certain Eastern religions, whether that's not adhering to certain beliefs in certain Western religions.
Before my coma, I did not believe in God or heaven. I had spent 8 years because of I'm an adoptee. I'd been rejected by my birth mother in 2000. I had totally given up on a loving God, loving personal God, totally given up on any belief in prayer right up to the time of my coma. I have come around to realize that that was all false. Based on neuroscientific principles about meningitis and my experience, I now know that there is an all-loving God, all-powerful God, and that God does not pick us based on which religion we happen to be born into. Any religion that depicts an all-loving, all-powerful God who loves us all and teaches love, compassion, and forgiveness, then that religion is on the right path. Any part of a religion that is separatist and exclusive and says we're better than others, we know the way, is wrong. And I absolutely know that from my experience to be true.
So the Christian belief that one would have to accept the teachings of Jesus in order to reach heaven is incorrect.
I would say that that is not exactly what Jesus and that loving God wanted us to believe. And that I think that a lot of the teachings of Jesus were corrupted by people later on who were deciding what to put in the Bible and what to leave out. And that, in fact, Jesus would be the first to tell us that this God loves each and every one of us. And it goes beyond loving all humans. It's loving all of his creation.
1,000 years ago, they'd call you a prophet.
Well, take this off of me. I'm nothing special. I'm just the messenger. The message is the important thing.
But you're saying scientifically that heaven is real.
I'm saying it's absolutely real, and that for the skeptics, what they really need to do is let's start talking about the hard problem of consciousness and why neuroscience and philosophers of mind have no clue whatsoever how consciousness would come up out of the physical brain, because that is the crux of the skeptical argument. And until they have something to say about that particular issue, they really don't have anything to say about this discussion at all.
What will you say if neuroscientists are able to develop a different theory of consciousness? I mean, a lot of the science we're working with now even 20 years ago didn't exist. So what would you say 20 to 50 years from now, if there is an explanation for what happened to you that does not involve anything supernatural?
Well, what I will say about all that is that I think science, neuroscience, is going to have tremendous progress in coming years. But I also know that the scientists making the most progress now already realize that consciousness is not local. They already realize that they need to study phenomena like remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences, after-death communications. They have to really start getting knowledgeable about all those phenomena that are real phenomena. And if you simply deny them, then you're really not on a pathway towards truth. But if you admit those phenomena exist and then start to work on how we can explain them and consciousness, then we're on the right path. And what I can tell you is from a totally physicalist standpoint, you know, electrons, protons, neutrons, quarks, and photons as being the basis of all reality, that's not true. And if you go at it with just that physicalist viewpoint, you'll never understand consciousness. To simply say, well, I cannot explain it based in physicalist science, therefore it cannot exist, when physicalist science has no clue how consciousness originates, I would say is a pretty weak position to be in.
But aren't you saying it can't be explained in physicalist science, so it must exist in another way?
No, I'm just saying that I think science is very important and is a path to truth, but we need to broaden the boundaries of science and allow that the profound mystery of consciousness is much deeper than we realize.
It sounds, in a way, as if you're describing polar reversal of science, quote-unquote science, in the Middle Ages, when faith was driving everything.
Well, I would say that really, I mean, to make sense of my whole experience, I have to look back through at least 2,500 years of human history. And what I see is that we actually are on a very long arc towards truth, and that we've taken a little detour here for probably the better part of 400 years, and certainly the last 100 years, towards this complete worship of physicalist science. Which does have its attributes, but also is limited. And it's limited mostly because it has no idea how to explain consciousness.
But do you think that there's a hazard in going into this research and not accepting that the supernatural may be real, but in believing it's real? Would that not lead someone following a scientific process to, in a way, corrupt that process and deny an explanation that might not allow for something that they already believe and have conceived to be true?
Well, the reality is people believe all of this. You can believe in the supernatural, believe in God and heaven, or you can believe in science and you can believe in physicalism. And belief has a strong way of pushing one's conclusions about reality. What I can tell you is that belief is important to open the door. One has to consider possibilities and say, well, this is possible.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Doctor.
Okay. Well, thank you.